When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Hey everyone, this is Jody Sweetin from the podcast How Rude, Tanneritos. I've been needing a quick getaway with my family, and the 2024 Hyundai Santa Fe is the perfect vehicle to take us there. It has standard third row seating, so I'm able to pack my entire family, plus pets, in the car while also having enough room for our camping essentials. Available H-Track all-wheel drive will get us through any dirt trails, and available dual wireless charging pads will ensure we never have to worry about getting stuck with a dead phone in the middle of nowhere. Visit HyundaiUSA.com. or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Had enough of those supplements that leave you feeling nothing? Symbiotica is your solution to great-tasting, all-natural supplements that actually work. Crafted with premium plant-based ingredients, their products have no seed oils, fillers, or artificial nonsense. It's just pure goodness in every pouch. Try them out and actually feel the difference today. Visit Symbiotica.com and use code IHEART for 15% off plus free shipping on your subscription order. Again, that's 15% off plus free shipping on your subscription order. Go to Symbiotica.com. That's CYMBIOTIKA.com.
You are listening to Waiting on Reparations, a production of iHeartRadio. Yo, yo, yo.
Hey, what's up, what's up, what's up?
This is Dope Knife.
This is Lingua Franca.
And we are waiting on reparations.
Any day now, right? What are you waiting for is my question, listeners. What are you waiting for?
I know the people in California were waiting, and they even got themselves a reparations task force that came out. They actually made a decision that I think they made a decision in Cali for their reparation task force. It was like they're going to limit it only to descendants of like free black persons or, hold on, let me find it and get the actual. Sure. California's, this is per the AP, this is California's first in-nation task force on reparations voted Thursday to limit the state compensation to the descendants of free and enslaved black people who were in the U.S. in the 19th century, narrowly rejecting a proposal to include all black people regardless of lineage. The vote was split 5-4, and the hours-long debate was at times testy and emotional near the end.
Well, yeah, for sure.
So what do you think about that?
I think that's it. I'd love to see their methodology for determining lineage, because that's the tricky part. That's like what people, I mean, other than like, oh, we shouldn't have to pay for the sins of our past kind of shit. People are like, well, how do we determine who gets it? And that's why, like, in my work, because slavery wasn't it. Like, continually wealth was, like, extracted from black people through labor exploitation, through literal theft of land, as we've talked about previously on the show. And so
I think
linking...
Go ahead.
So linking reparations to things that we do can find the receipts for a little easier, like, you know, when land is taken from people, lynchings, et cetera, et cetera. Because, like, the receipts on that are in your, like, in your local, like, libraries, archives and shit. Yeah. So, I mean, that's interesting. I definitely want to learn more about how they are going about determining, you know, that kind of thing. Because that's just, like, to me, the missing piece in like, the call for reparations.
Well, I think a lot of, you know, sometimes in this, like, modern era and stuff like that, especially, you know, when you, like, add in, like, the like, neoliberal sort of, like, view of it and stuff, I think we sometimes lose sight and forget that it's, like, the purpose of things like slavery and Jim Crow, like, there was an economic purpose for it. You know what I mean? Like, the purpose wasn't necessarily like racism for the sake of racism. It was like, you know, there was like racism for like an economic goal, like, in mind and shit like that. So the wealth that was abstracted, like, I can't even imagine like how you would even quantify it to, like, actually come up with, like, a proper estimation of how much needs to be repaired, I guess. You know what I mean?
But I mean, economists have calculated it previously. In fact, I've written on it a little bit. I could probably pull it up in a second. Calculated the amount of wealth that was taken from, you know, slaves in terms of labor, unpaid labor. Hamilton was the institute.
While you're looking for it, do you think that determinations like this, do you think that they're a cop-out, or do you think they're like a way out of repaying, or do you think that these are like necessary steps and things that need to be figured out when you're going about stuff like this?
I mean, definitely in my experience of like fighting for reparations, like I found it interesting that like the descendants, the folks from whom like wealth was taken, like they asked for very specific things. And so when you mentioned this like task force, I think like task forcing like issues is like a way of filtering black demands through like white supremacist mechanisms, like because like the government was like founded and mostly run by white people like historically, and so like, oh well, you know, we hear what you're asking for, but let's do it our way as a means of becoming comfortable with the outcomes and not just like doing what people have asked you to do. Granted, in our case, like, you know, state law constrains us in various ways, so having the input of lawyers, etc., like, is necessary. And I'm sure it was true of this case, but the fact that like we need our like white attorneys to like say it's okay, we need you know, these white voices involved in the process rather than just like listening and doing, you know, like that's another interesting component of a lot of this work, of just like the task forceization of black demands and task forces acting as like a sieve through which they are strained.
It seems like they stay wanting to make task force and committees that gotta look at some shit for like 15 years before they can make a decision about whether to act on it.
I get it. It requires like careful deliberation and consideration, but like according to whose rules? Like, you know, like who is setting up the task force and why? Is this a way? I mean, I've often seen it as a way to delay action also. Like, oh, assign it to a committee, and that way you can sort of like pass the buck on it instead of
I think we've talked about that before.
Definitely. Yeah, you say you did something, but you didn't do nothing.
Yeah.
So
y'all know how y'all can always help us with the reparations. Speaking of, I'm getting ready to go on the road right now, and I know you just got off the road. Yo.
Bro, I'm broke as fuck.
What is good with these gas prices? Yo, this shit is insane.
Man, and Exxon be making record profits. All these motherfuckers still making rap. All this talk of inflation and like, oh, we're gonna have to raise prices, when like CEOs are just yacht after yacht, just big yachty.
Ladies and gentlemen? If Venmo at Dope Knife, if you want to hear help with the Dope Knife Go On Tour gas fund.
At Dope Knife, hit him up,
get it started. Get those reparations started.
I was doing some little rap commissions to like help fund my tour.
Oh, word.
Like 10, 20 bucks. All right. Actually, this one, I think he's like a history teacher, like middle school or some shit, commissioned me to do a rap. Now we have to do an episode on this because I did not know about this. A rap about Finaltranau, like Union versus Coca-Cola, them alleging that like Coca-Cola hired like right-wing paramilitaries to kill union organizers. I think it was in Colombia. So I wrote a little rap about that.
Yeah.
You know what? I'm gonna put that at the end of the show this week. I'm gonna let y'all hear my rap about
murder
organizers in Colombia.
I like the idea about that. If you send me something on Venmo, just like in the note, just like say what you want your custom rap on, and I'll start working on those. I like that idea. That's dope.
It's fun.
So what we got today, Ramar?
So today we are going to be joined by my friend and esteemed colleague, John Jackson. He is the chairman of the DeKalb County Democratic Committee. As folks who may have followed the runoff elections recall, DeKalb was very instrumental in bringing home the win for President Biden. And so we're going to talk to him a little bit today about his political journey, what he sees as necessary solutions for the freedom of Black people. A lot of what we're talking about now, you know. economic freedom, economic, well, you know, it relates to what we've been talking about here, because economic anxieties are so tied to racism. Like, you know, the dehumanization of Black and brown people is mostly to, like, help create the conditions for capital accumulation for white people. And so we get a little bit into economic justice as you know, a critical step in ensuring the full freedom of Black people. So we're going to talk about a lot about that, talk a little bit about the Grammys, talk a little bit about Amazon. Let's get into it.
After All right. We'll be right back.
Mother's Day is coming, and Mom doesn't want flowers. She wants a cocktail. Here's a hint. Get Mom Bartesian. It's the countertop cocktail maker that creates your choice of over 60 premium cocktails in less than 30 seconds, each at the touch of a button. Flowers die. Happy hour comes back every day. So get Mom the machine that makes amazing cocktails with real fruit juices and craft bitters. Best of all, get $50 off a Bartesian premium cocktail maker with the purchase of one pack of cocktail capsules. So, instead of getting Mom a reason to fill a flower vase with water, get Mom the easiest, fastest way to fill her glass with the floral notes of gin. The best cocktails are premium cocktails, and the best day to get it for Mom is Mother's Day, because you can get $50 off now for a limited time. Visit bartesian.com/mother to get the best premium cocktail maker for Mom at the best price for you. Bartesian, premium cocktails on demand.
Had enough of those supplements that leave you feeling nothing? Symbiotica is your solution to great-tasting, all-natural supplements that actually work. Crafted with premium plant-based ingredients, their products have no seed oils, fillers, or artificial nonsense. It's just pure goodness in every pouch. Try them out and actually feel the difference today. Visit Symbiotica.com and use code IHEART for 15% off plus free shipping on your subscription order. Again, that's 15% off plus free shipping on your subscription order. Go to Symbiotica.com. That's Symbiotica.com.
With every CBD product claiming to do something different, it's nearly impossible to decide what's best for you. Lazarus Naturals pioneered the farm-to-front-door model of transparency, where they handle each step of the production process to ensure quality, potency, and consistency. Scannable labels allow you to see the test results of your hemp batch, so you can be confident in the safety and quality. Visit LazarusNaturals.com today. Lazarus Naturals, committed to improving your life as well as the world around you. Not available in Idaho, Iowa, or South Dakota.
Today, we are joined by John Jackson, the esteemed John Jackson, CEO, chairman of the DeKalb County Democrats, mover and shaker out here in Georgia Democratic politics, and beyond, We're going to get into a little bit about where we all stand with regards to the Democratic Party these days, et cetera, et cetera. Get into some news and stuff. But first, John, how are you today?
I'm doing great. I'm blessed. Blessed to be here. Blessed to be breathing.
What's been the highlight of your week so far? It's Monday, but sad to be something so far.
Well, you know, I've been in physical therapy for some injuries, and I'm getting a lot stronger, getting a lot better. And I think I'm about to be way better than I was before. You know, just feeling good, feeling better than I have in the past couple months.
That's beautiful. I'm so happy to hear that. Yeah.
So I guess at this point we kind of got like a somewhat of a loose format for how we start these. But
I mean, if we want to start out, just tell us a little bit about yourself, how you get into what you're doing today, what you're doing these days. Also, like, your professional life is very interesting. I don't know if you want to speak on that at all, but
I'll speak on it all.
Yeah,
I can. I'm about full disclosure here.
Word. That's what's up. So tell our listeners, like, who are you? Like, what do you do?
My name is John Jackson. I'm the chairman of the DeKalb County Democratic Committee, widely regarded as one of the strongest county parties in the country. In my day job, I am a consultant for big companies, and that's how I pay my bills. I don't love it.
But I was like, is this your, like, passion? I'm not going to knock if it was, but it's just interesting.
It's kind of like I haven't found anything yet that can pay my bills. So I'm like, okay, well, I'm just going to do this until I can find something that is something I love and something that also pays the bills. You know, I'm almost 38 years old, still figuring out what I want to be when I grow up.
So okay, so now I'm really interested now. Okay, so when you were, so what is it that you would want to do if you could like choose? Like if it was completely up to you, if you had like a genie in a bottle.
If it was up to me, honestly, and I'm already beginning to do some of this, I wouldn't depend on really anybody, you know, and I've already gone in an entrepreneurial direction, but I want to take that entrepreneurial direction in a different direction where I can, you know, really, you know, help people, but also, you know, pay my bills. It's kind of hard to have that balance sometimes of being able to really change the world and but also pay your bills. So it's tough.
Yeah, you gotta sometimes you gotta choose.
Gotta change the world, but you also gotta stack that change.
I see what I heard what you did there.
Yeah, rap shit.
It's like you rap, you know.
Yeah. So I mean, when I was growing up, I wanted to be an MTV VJ, like on Total Request Live. And they canceled that. So I was like, man, I got to come up with a new like career plan. And I've done a lot of different stuff in life, but I'm still figuring it out, you could say. But that doesn't bother me. I still consider myself purpose driven, even though I haven't found something that pays the bills that I'm passionate about.
Yeah, no, I definitely know the feeling sometimes, but it's like you just have to keep working at it, you know. Like it's things like that. I guess they kind of, you can pursue it, or you can do the things that you know are necessary to get there, and you know what I mean, and let the chips fall where they will, I guess.
I definitely identify with that a lot because people ask me all the time. So what's your next move? And I'm like, I don't fucking know. First of all. Like, my job security is very, very precarious as an elected official. I mean, I could be here, I could be gone in another 4 years. And just embracing that and not having to, like, pursue, like, hypothetical other directions with it. But also, I mean, the other thing is that if you're trying to get ahead financially in this world, you can't be staying in the same job for long. Our parents' generation, they same job 30, 40 years, right? But, like, I just had a friend who moved out to Oakland. You know, he does IT and stuff. And, like, the university he's working at, they would not pay him what he deserved. He had to move across the country to get paid what he was worth. And so there's an inherent in the way that, like, labor exploitation works, which we're going to get into a little bit today, I think. Like, you just, the transition, the hustle, the cycles are, it's just a part of it. Now that we kind of realize how disposable people find us, and then trying to find your passion amidst the grind and all that. So I feel that.
But I'll make a disclaimer though. The very folks who I sign contracts with, who maybe sign my paycheck sometimes, I have no issue speaking out against those institutions and saying those institutions are corrupt, those institutions discriminate against people who look like us. And those institutions are a big part of just injustice in this country. And so, you know, at the same time, we live in a capitalist system where if you opt out, you don't have a lot of options, but to maybe live off land. I don't have a bunch of land I can live off of right now. So, you know, I'm kind of having to opt in, but at the same time, I'm never going to be so deep in, or I've never hoped to be so deep in, where if, like, horrible crap is happening, I can't use my voice and mobilize against that and support leaders who want to change that system.
So, you trying to name names? Who are some of these
companies that you work for, or that you have worked for, or maybe?
I mean, I won't say whether or not I've done work for Wells Fargo, but I think that Wells Fargo is, in general, a shitty institution, and you know they might call me tomorrow for a 6-month engagement, and they don't care that I might have said that because the bottom line is such the bottom line. They will say, "Oh, we hired a guy for on a 6-month contract to criticize us on a podcast. So we're open-minded.
We're open-minded. And, you know, that's such an interesting insight because it really is about the bottom line for them. It's like, I don't care what you said. I don't care what you did. It's like we talked about last episode. Like, if they would overturn Citizens United and in insider trading in Congress, they could be, you know, on the bang bus on the weekend or whatever. I don't care. Just give us the good. And that's kind of like the opposite mentality of Wells Fargo. They're like, I don't care what you do when you're a free time. Balance our books or whatever it is.
Yeah, it's like, as long as we're meeting the shareholder objective, John, you can say fuck you to our CEO. Like, I don't...
He did a fucking job. Bring him into the office. Let's let him say it right to their face. Yeah.
Well, so, like, it's obviously now, like, it definitely seems like you have a certain piece that you found. Like, doing that to pay the bills while your beliefs and your passions may lie otherwhere.
But, well, this is how I see it. Listen, I've worked on a lot of political campaigns, and I have been involved in politics a lot. If money was driving my politics, then I wouldn't be very progressive. So it's kind of like I have to compartmentalize. I'm like, okay, I'm going to use capitalism for making money, but I'm going to let my politics be my politics. There are some consultants out there who can, you know, make good money in the political game and remain true to themselves. But there's a lot who can't.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's a whole bunch of people try to pull on you like, oh, I see you tweeting criticism about Wells Fargo from your iPhone made in China. Like, you know, da-da-da-da. Like, we gotta live out here. Like, you gotta make money.
That's like the usual conservative criticism of like Hollywood celebrities and stuff. It's like they're telling you about saving the whales, but they fly on private jets.
I feel like there's a different level to it where like average working folks, like I'll let everybody down here slide because like it's hard out here. If you can afford to be, if you were skating around on a yacht and accidentally chopping whales up with your rudder or whatever, because you're rich as hell, I don't vibe with that as much personally.
But I'm for speedboats myself anyway. Yachts are real overrated.
I'm an old school little kayak. Yeah. Nah, I'm scared of water.
I like boats where I can cast my fishing rod from, and yachts are a little big for that.
You know, I've never been like fishing before.
Fishing unites all classes, in my opinion. I think it's an activity of the proletariat globally, and I think that everyone on the food chain eats fish, including fish.
Brother,
wow, I have my mind blown over here. So we've talked a little bit about the divergence between your politics and what you do for money, which I think we can all speak to because we all live, like you said, in the system, right? So let's get into like your politics. I want to start with your journey to where you currently are in politics, because you're chairman of the DeKalb County Democrats. You know, DeKalb County won 83% for like Biden. In the presidential election of 2020. But here you are somewhat, I would say, you know, based on my understanding of both the national and like statewide political context, a little more leftward than the average everyday chairman of the local Democratic committee. So what was your journey to where you are today?
It really wasn't supposed to happen. It took years of organizing, years and years and years of grassroots organizing, to where the old guard of the Democratic Party in DeKalb and its supporters were outnumbered by new people. Yeah. And these new people might have been mostly maybe affluent, moderate, neoliberal types, but they were so yearning to win that they were willing to elect a very outspoken kind of leftist, our revolution endorsed person as the chair because they wanted to win. They're like, John's gonna put in 100%. He's gonna make sure that we're funded, that we just get it right. And I think that's what it came down to, is between me and an old system where we weren't turning out voters in this county that's 70% non-white and very Democratic, and just turning the county out can make a difference in whether the state goes blue or not.
I've been telling people that all the time, like, whoever shows up and shows up with, like, demonstrable conviction, like, will win a lot of the time among folks that don't have very strong, like, ideological commitments. And they're like, oh, I'm left-leaning or whatever. Like, out here, like, I see all the time people, like, rock with Republicans that they don't agree ideologically on, like, anything. But it's like, those are the folks that show up and, like, make promises and be coming to the cookouts and shit. And but like, with conviction. Like, yo, I'm here for you and shit. So, I mean, yeah, that's cool that she was able to get in there and show that conviction, kind of take over. So how has your leadership in the on the county committee sort of shifted? I don't know, but yeah, some of those policy commitments, because like turning voters out is important, but like, you know, if you all have a local platform, and how have your policies that or anything?
That's where things have gotten interesting. You know, everybody who's on the current exec team is somebody I asked to run, except one person.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a board that was largely encouraged, you know, put there by myself. I mean, the voters of the committee voted them in, but they were folks who've been running with me on this grassroots journey. And we've done some things that are unprecedented. We censured Vernon Jones, who is someone in the old party in DeKalb County, never held accountable. And this was a guy who endorsed George W. Bush. And
yeah, for the listeners who might not be familiar with Georgia politics as much, can you explain who Vernon Jones is?
Vernon Jones made national news. He's as being a state rep, black man, who endorsed Trump in 2020. And we almost immediately censured him. And we got behind his primary opponent.
Wasn't he at the Stop the Steal stuff?
He was. He was. Yeah. He's definitely a seditionist.
Was he at the Stop the Steal rally?
Was that?
Did y'all not see that photo of him like crowd surfing?
Yeah. Yeah, he was there.
Oh, hell no. What?
Yeah, I'm about to
say he was. He was there.
Bruh. Oh, God.
So we've done a lot of unprecedented things like that. We endorsed in a race, in a municipal race, where it was two Democrats running because one candidate was just not aligned with our values. It was an unprecedented move. We fought the state party on it. So I think when you have leadership that shows courage, the whole committee kind of follows behind you. Like we removed an elections board chair who had been there 25 years. We've reformed the Board of Elections in DeKalb County through our activism. And I think that when you show courage, when you show that you're willing to roll up your sleeves, you're not here just to be seen, it really inspires others who are following you to kind of do the work. And it makes my job so easy because I have so many folks on this in this county party who are just anxious to do the work, and it's just my job to make sure that they have all the resources they need and that they're ready to go, that we're ready to go.
So is it like more of a situation where like there's a bunch of different circumstances that are just right, and then the right amount of hard work that makes you guys successful there? Or is this something that can be duplicated other places in Georgia or even nationwide?
I'm going to say this. We have some socioeconomic advantages that other counties don't. And so it's harder to organize a Clayton County because it's more working class. And so the more working class a place gets, the less people have time to volunteer. And so county party organizations are, and basically political organizations in general, are built off of volunteers. And so the more of a working class area you're in, the more your money you're going to need to raise, because you got to be able to pay folks. Working class people don't have time to give up a Saturday.
Yeah.
they can't give up a Saturday. They can't. And it is people of economic privilege, suburbanites, suburban moms, who are generally the ones who have the time to put in all these volunteer hours. Suburban moms of economic means. It's not your single suburban moms on a lower middle class salary.
Mm-hmm.
And so DeKalb County has a lot of that class of people to mobilize a more working class set of people.
Right, whereas you've got base to go out and get the other folks involved.
Right.
Yeah. We talked a little bit about earlier about like you've been able to do some pretty unprecedented things as through this transformation of your local party, including being a little more discerning about what candidates you get behind, et cetera. I think this is an entryway in discussing like policies that animate your political imagination and the work that you do. So, how do we get free, in your opinion? What sorts of policies do we need to be getting behind? And ideally be getting behind in candidates that we can run. I don't know if we're there yet everywhere, but in a place like DeKalb County, maybe.
So we still have the trap of falling into these cults of personalities revolving around our skin color. And it could be a charming black man. It could be like an Obama. It could be a black girl magic politician. But a lot of them still have the same antiquated politics of people who don't look like us.
Mm-hmm.
And so real leadership would be exciting the people about things that are going to benefit us. I think so in Metro Atlanta, we have a lot of problems with this. So Gwinnett County has their first African-American woman DA, but she's pushing real hard to prosecute all marijuana crimes.
Bro, what?
So is that black girl magic if you're taking away, maybe half of an income of a black family household because, you know, they're in jail? That's not black girl magic. And I'm just kind of like, that's why I think the discourse between black progressives and black neoliberals is incredibly important. In DeKalb County, Commissioner Ted Terry was trying to pass some marijuana reform and ban marijuana drug testing in DeKalb County for jobs. And it was black commissioners standing in the way. And I think it's beyond time for, particularly in black politics, for us to have a discussion on a platform where the masses can see, is black liberalism hurting the black community? We get all excited about some of these folks sometimes, but sometimes these folks are embracing some really antiquated thinking that we would call white folks racist for.
Yeah. I mean, one conversation I like haven't been, I'm like too scared to have still, but I'll have it now. It's like, you know, we all know that not all skin folk are kin folk, but I think that in the sense of what you're talking about, these antiquated policies that are ultimately like continuing, you know, perpetuating the oppression of our people. But like the fact that like, not
are we talking about Eric Adams?
Am I talking about Eric? Not today. I've been talking about because he's terrible. But not today. No, so the idea that like maybe sometimes, I cannot believe these words are coming out of my mouth. But sometimes I would prefer like a white leftist candidate that is embracing like what I would regard as transformative politics over like a black neoliberal, knowing that like representation for representation's sake is not gonna set us free.
And the problem is
highly controversial.
I agree with you. I'm 100% with you. The problem is white leftists don't know how to talk to black people in general.
Oh,
if they were a little better at it, then they would have more success. But I would I'm 100% there with you. And I think, here's the thing, we don't have to cancel black neoliberals. In fact, our best hope for Georgia right now is a black neoliberal. Let's put it plain. I love her to death. I will go all out for her. In fact, it's my final mission in Democratic politics to make her governor. But I will publicly encourage Stacey. I'm like, Stacey Abrams, you're going to support the fight for 15. You should. Warnock and Ossoff do. They are also neoliberals, but they support the fight for 15. Like, she needs to support the fight for 15. She needs to support she needs to support marijuana legalization. She'll get some crossover vote on that. I promise you.
Yeah.
Like,
and so I think it's okay if we, in a loving way, even push Stacey Abrams to the left. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. We can be respectful. We can respect her work and everything she's doing for us, and the fact that she has a good chance of being America's first black woman governor. That's amazing. But we also need to push her on the issue.
I mean, I think bottom line is, at this point in the game, I don't think we can really afford to, like, fracture whatever you want to call it, the left side of the spectrum. I don't think it can afford to be, like, fractured or shrunk any more than it is and stuff like that. So, like, I think the tent should be big. I think there's room.
That'll shrink in the tent. I think...
I'm not saying that that's what you're saying. I'm just saying, like, I agree with you. Like, that's generally where I fall on, is, like, I think that there shouldn't be... We shouldn't be, like, canceling, like, neoliberals or black neoliberals or the... You know, as long as they're not, at this point in the game, like I said, given the stakes, as long as they're not fucking with the Nazis, yo, like, then I'm not canceling anybody, because, like, it's too much on the line to be like, oh, they don't fall in line with XYZ, that, you know what I mean?
Well, if you want to cancel them, beat them in a primary. That's
exactly.
All I would say.
Go, exactly.
Beat them in the primary. Beat them in the primary. Otherwise, Stacey's going to be our nominee for governor. Yeah. She's going to be the left, not just the Democrats' best bet, but the left's best bet. Mm-hmm. Everyone who's not, neo-fascist, their best bet. And so I think we owe it to ourselves and to the community to say, hey, it's okay to be black on purpose in a state. If you turn out more black people, it won't even be close. So you gotta phrase it like that. Don't listen to establishment consultants who not only tell you to be less progressive, but to not go all out for the black community.
Yeah. Or for, like, marginalized communities in general. Like, that's the purpose of, like, all of this anti-woke sort of legislation and sentiment that they're trying to build, is that exact effect happens, that mainstream Democrats stay away from issues that are important to black people or gays or transgenders or women and stuff like that because it's deemed woke, you know?
One thing I want to add to go back to this, thing I posited earlier with regards to, like, black neoliberalism versus white leftism. I think you're absolutely right. These little white boys with the long hair don't know how to talk to people. And so I think it's, like, a false choice. Like, oh, which one do you choose from? Because the real problem is that I think, like, the black neoliberal, like, leadership class generally just doesn't listen to the voices of or uplift the leadership of young black people, who I would say are more progressive than ever. You know, they've never lived in a world where, like, fight for 15 and, like, free, like, legal weed, and then maybe make it free after that, has not been a part of the conversation, you know, like, but, and yet, like, when we are expected to, like, honor the hierarchy, like, oh, you gotta pay your dues, and you don't have enough life experience to, like, know what you're talking about, And those are the same people that are really hard to mobilize and engage around voting in the first place. So we ain't got to either or. Our only choices are like some quote unquote like Sanders sibling or, you know, like somebody that's been in politics for like 50 years. Really, I mean, it comes down to bringing in new folks that got different perspectives because they ain't in here right now.
Mother's Day is coming, and Mom doesn't want flowers. She wants a cocktail. Here's a hint. Get Mom Bartesian. It's the countertop cocktail maker that creates your choice of over 60 premium cocktails in less than 30 seconds, each at the touch of a button. Flowers die. Happy hour comes back every day. So get Mom the machine that makes amazing cocktails with real fruit juices and craft bitters. Best of all, get $50 off a Bartesian premium cocktail maker with the purchase of one pack of cocktail capsules. So, instead of getting Mom a reason to fill a flower vase with water, get Mom the easiest, fastest way to fill her glass with the floral notes of gin. The best cocktails are premium cocktails, and the best day to get it for Mom is Mother's Day, because you can get $50 off now for a limited time. Visit bartesian.com/mother to get the best premium cocktail maker for Mom at the best price for you. Bartesian, premium cocktails on demand.
Had enough of those supplements that leave you feeling nothing? Symbiotica is your solution to great-tasting, all-natural supplements that actually work. Crafted with premium plant-based ingredients, their products have no seed oils, fillers, or toxins. Try them out and actually feel the difference today. Visit Symbiotica.com and use code IHEART for 15% off plus free shipping on your subscription order. Again, that's 15% off plus free shipping on your subscription order. Go to Symbiotica.com. C-Y-M-B-I-O. T-I-K-A.com.
With every CBD product claiming to do something different, it's nearly impossible to decide what's best for you. Lazarus Naturals pioneered the farm-to-front-door model of transparency where they handle each step of the production process to ensure quality, potency, and consistency. Scannable labels allow you to see the test results of your hemp batch so you can be confident in the safety and quality. Visit LazarusNaturals.com today. Lazarus Naturals, committed to improving your life as well as the world around you. Not available in Idaho, Iowa, or South Dakota.
It's a matter of politics. And sometimes leftists don't understand the power of political persuasion. The Fight for 15 wasn't mainstream on the Democratic side just 6 years ago.
Mm-mm.
And now it's become pretty mainstream. It's not even considered that progressive to be for the Fight for 15. And so I think that's how we have to look at it. There are neoliberal folks, there are mainstream liberals who we can get on board with our progressive policies. There are those who we can get to agree that this is the only way forward. And, you know, you have a lot of like really wonky centrist type people who like to think, well, I like to do the analysis of the policy and blah, blah, blah. And you got to remind them, well, what about wages not growing with inflation in forever? Like, what about CEO wages growing but not workers? And I'm like, that's the policy analysis you should do. And so I think that. There is a section of liberals who have an ear to it. They're just a little bit more worried than leftists are about the political viability of it. Leftists are like, screw it. This is the only way we're going to make it as a people. Where liberals are like, well, I'm just waiting for the right time. And
so I wanted to get your thoughts on some things that are going on then, like happening today. So, Mariah, do you want to talk about the Amazon situation?
Well, actually, I have one last question. Well, and it might take a while for John, but I know you're very passionate about economic justice. What does that term even mean to you?
I think it means righting the wrongs of centuries of economic oppression. In this country. And certain folks It's not an oppression Olympics, but certain folks have had more economic oppression than others, particularly the ones who were brought here for free labor. So you start with that. You got to right those wrongs and understand this is where liberals mess up. Every other form of inequality is attached to economic inequality. So that's whether that's criminal injustice system, whether that is the inequality in education attached to some screwed up funding formula, whether that is healthcare being great on the north side of Atlanta and on the south side, ooh, good luck. So I think that can all be kind of, economic justice is like the nucleus of all the policy issues of the left, in my opinion, including reproductive justice, because at the end of the day, it's not reproductive justice if only rich white ladies can get abortions. I think that's what it, if you talk to maybe some upper middle class folks who are maybe okay with voting for Biden and then voting Republican on the down ballot, Roe v. Wade's not going to impact them being overturned, because you know what? They can still get an abortion if you're of a certain economic class. Wherever.
Yeah, they can go out of state if they need to.
And so I think that just about every issue you can think of, you know, like I've seen LGBTQ plus organizations who never address LGBTQ plus poverty or homelessness or just the lower economic tier of queer folks. They act as if they're not a thing. And so I think that neoliberalism will sometimes try to erase that. They'll say, well, as long as we get the social liberalism down, we're good. I'm like, no, it doesn't work that way. Everything has to be funded. Everything requires money behind it.
Show me the money. Yes, absolutely. It's not just about like, oh, we're inclusive. Like, you know, these companies and shit trying to do like DEI trainings, da 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 da, about how to like not ask to touch my hair or whatever. But it's like, also just pay people more. Just like, where are you putting? You're just putting money into a training, and you're not putting any material, not transforming people's material conditions, which oftentimes make, you know, create these racial, you know, gender disparities, et cetera, et cetera. Put the money in folks' hands, period. I don't care. Like, we're culturally sensitive. Yeah, I hope your pocketbook is culturally sensitive, and if fucking, give me all your money.
I mean, yeah, I mean, like, the corporate grift is definitely, like, one thing, but I don't necessarily think it's, as a separate issue, I don't think it's necessarily, like, misguided to attempt to change the culture when you're attacking something like racism and shit like
that. Oh, absolutely.
Personally, yeah.
It's only part of it, though.
Yes, exactly. It's only part of it. Just like with anything, though, it's like, if somebody's just doing it and they're like, this is the one step fix all tool, then obviously you're going about it the wrong way, because it's, you know, you would think that like most people would understand, like, it's a bit more complicated an issue than like, yo, don't touch your coworker's hair. You know what I mean?
I think what's missing from modern liberalism is the fact that you really can't reform all these other systems that liberalism will try to reform everything before they address economic justice. You'll try to see a criminal justice system reformed. You'll try to see a school system reformed. But how can you do that when there's still this disparity in basic resources, and it's staggered by skin color so much? And so I think they skate around it and they don't like being confronted with it, but it's a hard reality that I think it has to be addressed. And I think also, I think we wouldn't have to worry about losing midterms right now if the Biden administration Let's say a reparations bill had passed the House and it got stuck in the Senate, and President Biden made a big speech about how it sucks, how it got stuck in the Senate, and this is why we need to expand the majority. I guarantee you, more Black folks, if it was about that, would be coming out for midterms. We wouldn't have to worry about us coming out for midterms if our issues weren't continuously thrown under the bus after we save everyone's asses. And so I think it's something to think about. Lack of courage isn't rewarded. And we're playing a risky game now. We're playing a risky game. Not going all out for the people who won us several swing states.
Yeah, y'all trying to really stave off fascism? Like, y'all better get with it, because this is not going to work in the long term, y'all. It's just not going to work.
No, not at all. I mean, like I said, scared bunny don't make money. You can't, I mean, you can't talk all of that shit. When the chips are on the line and the election's on the line, it's like, yo, this is like the most important thing ever. We've got to stop this rising fascism. The Proud Boys are coming. Trump's out of control. The Republicans are crazy. And then when you get in power, you're going about this shit like it's not really that serious. You know what I mean? Like, you're not even treating anything with the urgency that you were talking just a year ago. Like, that was just a summer ago. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah. It's like these motherfuckers don't really want to win. I don't
know. Well, it comes down to this. It's the Diet Cola brand of white supremacy and racism that is more prevalent amongst liberals. It's a Diet Cola version because it's not culturally acceptable for liberals to be as nasty as the far right. So you gotta have to kind of, you show a Diet Cola version by sweeping it under the rug and saying, now let's get to the people who really matter, the regular Americans. Words like that are used. And so,
working class.
Right. So basically colorblinding the whole situation. That is the liberal version of it. And, you know, it sucks like hell that our people have to choose between fuck you and, oh, I don't have time for you right now.
Can I get you to expand on that a little bit? Because, like, something that I find, just whether it be with certain, like, leftist pundits I listen to, or even when I'm, you know, interacting with, like, leftist spaces on Twitter and stuff like that, I find that there tends to be, like, it could just be me personally, but I tend to see, like, this sort of, like, economic essentialism from some leftists, to where it's like the economic aspect of things is the only thing that matters, and don't pay attention. You know what I mean? Like, there's a certain colorblind sort of push I find from some people who proclaim leftists as well.
Leftists can be a big part of the problem. There's a lot of white leftists who have no clue how to be intersectional, and they have just as much problematic white supremacist thinking. It's just in a more progressive form. And like liberals, they have to culturally adjust to what's acceptable. Leftists have to as well. And so they can't get away with saying what you can say in far right crowds. Mm-hmm. So they try to colorblind everything and say, oh, it's all class. And I'm like, I would say it's not all class. It's class and race.
And you can tell too, like, one of the things I say to them is like, man, Medicare for all is super dope, but if you're not even thinking of including Black people in it when you're talking about it, then, like, am I just supposed to be stupid? Like, ooh, you said Medicare for all. You know what I mean? Like, nah, like.
It do be like that sometimes. Well, at this point, do y'all want to segue into discussing a little bit of what's been going on this week? Get some of your reactions down to.
Well, let's
we need to take a break.
Oh, you're right. You're right. You're right. You're right. I'm tripping. I'm tripping. We still got to pay these bills. We got to pay these bills. We'll be back after the jump.
Mom met a lot of your demands over the years. This Mother's Day, get her the Bartesian cocktail maker that makes premium cocktails on demand. In just 30 seconds, have your choice of over 60 premium or seasonal cocktails, all at the touch of a button. Get $50 off on the Bartesian cocktail maker now when you buy one pack of cocktail capsules. So, for all the times you made a mess, get Mom the countertop cocktail system that makes premium cocktails without making any mess at all. For all the times you begged for soda, get her premium cocktail capsules made with real fruit juice and craft bitters. For all the times you demanded tacos for dinner, get her the Bartesian that mixes margaritas in just 30 seconds. Make Mom's Mother's Day and all the 364 days that aren't Mother's Day with a Bartesian cocktail maker at $50 off. Visit bartesian.com/mother now to get $50 off the Bartesian Premium Cocktail Maker. Bartesian, premium cocktails on demand.
Had enough of those supplements that leave you feeling nothing? Symbiotica is your solution to great-tasting, all-natural supplements that actually work. Crafted with premium plant-based ingredients, their products have no seed oils, fillers, or artificial nonsense. It's just pure goodness in every pouch. Try them out and actually feel the difference today. Visit Symbiotica.com and use code IHEART for 15% off plus free shipping on your subscription order. Again, that's 15% off plus free shipping on your subscription order. Go to Symbiotica.com. That's Symbiotica.
With every CBD product claiming to do something different, it's nearly impossible to decide what's best for you. Lazarus Naturals pioneered the farm-to-front-door model of transparency where they handle each step of the production process to ensure quality, potency, and consistency. Scannable labels allow you to see the test results of your hemp batch so you can be confident in the safety and quality. Visit LazarusNaturals.com today. Lazarus Naturals, committed to improving your life as well as the world around you. Not available in Idaho, Iowa, or South Dakota.
The big thing I want to talk about this week.
Oh, come on. Let me get it first. Please. I had something before we went to break. I was about to ask something. I want to get your thoughts, John.
We'll save the best for last.
This isn't like the best. I'm not saying mine is the best.
I'm saying mine for last because mine is so exciting.
Okay, John, I wanted to... Did you pay attention at all to any of the, in particular, hip-hop aspects of the Grammys? Tyler, the Creator, won Best Rap Album with his...
I didn't realize the Grammys happened.
I heard about it. I didn't know that shit happened until this morning.
I'm going to be honest. I did not watch the Grammys.
I didn't watch it.
Yeah, 0-3 over here. Not a single one of us watched the Grammys.
I heard some great things happen.
I had a friend who was there, so I saw some Instagram stories.
I heard it went better than the Oscars.
Yeah, so wait, so who won? Who won and shit?
All right, so on the hip hop end. Or hip-hop adjacent type stuff. Tyler, the Creator, won Best Rap Album with Call Me If You Get Lost. Mm-hmm. Kanye won Best Rap Song with Jail featuring Jay-Z. Mm-hmm. Lil Baby won Best Melodic Rap Performance. Best Melodic Rap Performance is a category? That's dope. With the song Hurricane featuring Kanye West and The Weeknd. It actually sounds like that might just be a way so they can give R&B singers a rap Grammy without saying it's R&B. Best Rap Performance went to Baby Keem and Kendrick Lamar for the song Family Ties.
That makes sense.
And yeah, those are the main hip-hop related Grammy wins. Did you hear any of those albums? I heard the Tyler joint. It was pretty cool. I liked it.
I heard Kendrick Lamar and Baby Keem. I heard. I'm gonna be honest. I stopped listening to Kanye several years ago.
Me too.
I listen to the old Kanye. I do listen to the old Kanye, but I haven't listened to much new Kanye.
Yeah, no, same. Unless he shows up, he'll show up on a random like Chance the Rapper thing. Not really. Well, like the feel is there. You can feel Kanye in the music, and you're just like.
But apparently he's.
This doesn't count.
Apparently he's doing well now. He's got oligarch money, so he's doing something right.
Oligarch money. So okay, so here's the, that's interesting, right? Because you know, if I just. Take a survey of the age range of the three of us right now. Me and you, John, are in our like mid to late 30s. Mariah's in her early 30s. So why, is, like, what's going on that none of us just are completely oblivious to the fact that the Grammys took place and we're like, yeah, I heard that one song when we're all talking about the stuff that won.
I don't, any of those award shows, I've never watched.
Hip-hop's a very wide genre. And so you can be a hip-hop head, and I'm not a hip-hop head. I listen to a lot of hip-hop, but I'm nothing close to being a hip-hop head. You can be a hip-hop head and still not listen to everything.
Yeah, but I don't know. Like, I honestly, you know, I guess, like I said, I heard the Tyler album, and then I did hear that Baby Keem and Kendrick Lamar song. But I mean, definitely the other stuff definitely kind of missed me. And it's not like I wasn't listening to a lot of music. I guess this is just, you know what I mean? It's like a particular, I guess, like little carving of like all that there is out there that's actually involved with the Grammys. That it's like, if you're not super in tune to wherever the hell people are getting updated on that stuff are, it kind of like, it just kind of passes you by. You don't even know that the shit took place.
It's like John said, it's a wormhole. I keep falling backwards and forwards in the hip-hop chronology in terms of what I listen to. I'll just discover an album from my favorite, like Nick Jenkins from like 2018. I'm like, why was I listening this whole time? What the hell? There's not enough time to also keep up with everything. But you know, speaking of winners at the Grammys, you know who else won this week? Amazon Labor Union. Got that shit. Everyone, for the listeners, everyone's dancing on camera right now. And so that's super exciting. I mean, I am slightly bummed for like my homies down in Bessemer, Alabama, who are, you know, the early tallies look like they lost. You know, there's probably going to be some sort of NLRB challenge and try to like get it overturned again. But so I'm a little heartbroken for them because, you know, I'd love to see the South win. But first unionized Amazon warehouse in the country up there in Staten Island. Good for them.
Do you know what some of the things that they're going to be like working to change when they?
Yeah, man, they're trying to get $30 an hour. They want three paid breaks, 2 30-minute paid breaks, and then an hour for lunch. And they want them to totally, completely stop changing any HR policies like that, like between now and when they start to like bargain with the union.
I mean, yo, it's like, everything that you said sounds like super reasonable.
But that they didn't even, they're like, no, they're just coming for what they deserve. Straight up.
Yeah.
Let's not mince words here. Like, literally, this isn't a big deal. Let's just get this done with. You know, but interesting fact I learned is that Chris Smalls, who's the president of the Amazon Labor Union, is the guy that got fired in 2020 for leading a walkout over, like, their coronavirus policies and, like, been organizing ever since. So he is a rapper, apparently.
Oh, snap.
Yeah, he, before, like, in a quote-unquote former life, went on tour with Meek Mill.
Nice.
I did not know that about Chris Small, so that was like, nice. There's a little connection right there. We gotta see if he's trying to.
It's like we're like Highlanders and shit, you know. It's like we're in all walks of life. You run into somebody, it's like, yo, you MC? Yeah, I am. I used to.
That's pretty dope. I gotta say, you're leading a labor union and you're a rap. That's actually really hard.
I tell people all the time, rappers, yeah, and politicians, very similar types of people. They're very similar skill sets. Only difference is rappers are not
cowards. Motivation behind it, too.
I would like to see mainstream rap infected with a labor union rapper. Like, I feel like mainstream rap is more neoliberal than actual neoliberal politics.
Like, mainstream rap is actually kind of like mainstream American hip hop has got like a lot of, at least from an economic standpoint, I think it's got like a lot of right wing sort of shit going on.
Right wing is more like it, but you know, neoliberal is a gentle way of putting it.
Yeah,
but like,
yeah, exactly.
It's a lot of poor shaming. It's a lot of poverty shaming in mainstream hip hop.
And I mean, it's like poverty shaming from like, it's not even like a superficial, like, nana nana boo boo sort of way, like, my car is so much doper than yours. It's like on some philosophical, like, you broke, nigga. You shouldn't be broke. It's like, you shouldn't be broke. Only real men are, you know what I mean? It's like,
I don't know.
Like, time out. Like, what I is kinda, going on?
No, don't get me wrong. I'm not into policing art, but I would not mind if that went away from me. I would not mind if that just went away because
it's
I live in Atlanta, and in Atlanta, that impacts the actual culture in the streets, like, it hits you. I'm like, whoa.
No, I agree, yo. Like, it's weird, Joe. It's to the point where it's like, if you just listen to the stuff, it's like, man, I'm not saying this has nothing to, this is not like a quality judgment, you know what I mean? This isn't like, oh, it's whack or whatever. I'm talking about like the actual, like, way that the shit like feels. And you know, I personally have these like other political beliefs and shit, and they bleed into the art that I consume. So there's like certain elements of listening to it where it's like, man, this is not, if this didn't have a beat behind it, like, I wouldn't.
I'm just wondering how many women who were like born to like working class or poor fathers say broke niggas don't deserve no pussy. I'm like, wait a minute. You didn't deserve to be born?
A lot of mercy.
Nah, but yeah.
Well, John, thank you so much for coming on the show and sharing some of your perspectives from on the ground. Do you want people to catch up with you?
Yeah, like, if you do want people to find you, where can they find you?
Hey, so you can find me on
something to drop. I'm like, does John want people to know about you?
I want people to know about it. I want people to cancel me over it. I don't care. Litman JJ on Twitter, Instagram, John Jackson on Facebook. Yeah, hit me up.
He wants all the smoke. All of it.
Oh, man. Well, thanks so much again, man. And, but oh my God, thank you for coming on. This was super fun. Plus, I just don't ever get to hang out with you. So it was like good hanging out with you again. Yo, so that's my homie, John. Appreciate you coming on once again, bruh.
Yeah, it was fun, man.
I think something we can talk more about on the show that we really got into with him was like the reconciliation of like the things that we do for money with like the fact that we are inherently participant in like a sick and toxic system. I appreciate him as like a, you know, financial analyst working with these big companies that like he's also outspoken about hating. and you know, like there's various ways that we like play the game, but like, you know, don't participating in boycotts or avoiding certain companies or participating with certain companies.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that's something that we both, I wouldn't say struggle with, but it's a reality that we both come to grips with, even with just hosting our podcast and doing the other, you know, in accordance with the other things that we do. So
I mean, one thing we gotta grapple with, like, as artists, we are like, take this with a grain of salt, but we are capitalists and agree to like, I get some money together and buy some t-shirts and then I sell them at more than they're worth to get the money. And so, like, I make money by having money, you know? Like, you know, I don't know. Stuff like that.
It's one of those things where it's like, what the idealized, you know, world that you would like to live in, butting heads with, like, the real world that you do live in. It's one of those sort of things, you know? It's like, we all have to play the game because we don't have any other, there's no other world for us to live in other than the one that exists.
Yeah, so. I have to at this point. Like, it's my career. Like, I don't know what else to do.
Well, you know what You know what else we have to do because it's our career?
That's spit
raps and shit.
All right.
Let us get a beat, please.
Hit it.
Oh, you said you're going to kick one of your custom ones during this? Oh, okay. Yeah. Word. I want to hear this. All right. Yo, Joel, drop that.
Drop that.
Oh. Yeah. Who we be? It's not a rhetorical question. Who we be? Yo. Yo. Wait on reparations, you better give me my paper. My people in Amazon, they was organizing for labor. The black and brown and the yellow, the gays, we got many flavor. We never crossing the picket line, march in front of the mayor. Hey, we want lunch and a bathroom break. We want more of the cash you make. Y'all been eating too long, that's fat you say. But your shit is built on my back, you break. And cause of y'all greed, now we all stuck. But your shit's a facade, we can see y'all butt. Why be the billionaires that we all trust? Why never fuck with no Elon Musk?
A couple of brave laborers came together under the bandana. They seen out to fight for what they owed, for bottling up the coke for a multinational foe. United, we bargained, divided, we slaving, staying broke, but coke responded with brutality. Threatening their families, some leaders disappeared and some others were badly beat. 5 fatalities. So the workers took it to the court, seeking justice for tragedies they endured. And still today, they fighting for what they worth in the face of intimidation, even knowing that homies had gotten their lives cut short. Standing up for their rights and sticking it to the bosses, cause the name of the game is always people over profits.
Hey, 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 this is Dope Knife.
This is Lingua Franca.
And you have been listening to Waiting on Reparations.
Hurry up.
See you next week.
Please.
Listen to Waiting on Reparations on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, guys. Back at the playground again, huh?
Yep. You know what this playground could use? A wine country.
Heck yeah. And some waves. So we could go surfing.
Oh, yeah. Ah, love that.
A redwood forest would be cool.
I'm in.
Ah, ski slopes.
Let's do it.
Can a girl go shopping?
Yeah, baby.
Wait. Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
With every CBD product claiming to do something different, it's nearly impossible to decide what's best for you. Lazarus Naturals pioneered the farm-to-front-door model of transparency where they handle each step of the production process to ensure quality, potency, and consistency. Scannable labels allow you to see the test results of your hemp batch so you can be confident in the safety and quality. Visit LazarusNaturals.com today. Lazarus Naturals, committed to improving your life as well as the world around you. Not available in Idaho, Iowa, or South Dakota.
You never want to find yourself out on the water fishing without the essentials. So it's best to always pack a Columbia PFG Solar Stream Elite hoodie to protect against the sun. I mean, it provides great protection and it's really breathable so you don't get hot. That's a win-win. Columbia PFG has a lot of great gear. So before you head out on the water, head over to Columbia.com/PFG to shop their performance fishing gear.